My father's knuckles are white as he grips the steering wheel, and I'm pretty sure his jaw has been clenched continuously for the past half an hour. Mine would be, too, if I were listening. But I've cranked up the music coming through my noise-canceling headphones, so as far as I can tell, this is a pantomime of WASP, Angry Couple Theater. I'd tried to convince my parents they didn't need to drop me off at school. My dad had been willing, perhaps sensing I'd like a fresh start when I step on campus instead of polluting it with the toxic nature of my family. But my mother wouldn't have it. "Of course we're bringing you to campus, dear. We brought Ivy to Harvard, didn't we? We're going to make sure our baby's all settled in. I can hardly believe you're all grown up." Tears had actually welled in her eyes, and I'd been a little touched, even though I suspect her concern is more with what other people would think than whether I'm comfortable. But if it makes her happy to play the doting parent, fine. It's true she'd done this with my sister, too, forcing me to join them for the long drive up to Cambridge. I just hope their performance doesn't last too long. Make it quick and then get the fuck out. I've been waiting for this for years. I press pause when we get to campus, silencing the music that's been reverberating through my head, and listen in on the Preston and Samantha Burke show. As I suspected, my mother's changed her tune. She would, now that there might be other people around to hear it. "Isn't the campus lovely, Preston? The architecture is so striking." She's right about that. Princeton is pretty. And I'm sure the grounds crew has been working overtime to make sure it's at its best for all the parents who are placing their darlings in the school's benevolent hands. Everything is decked out in orange and black, and the place is crawling with families. Which only makes me wonder how soon I can get rid of mine. My dad angles to get as close to my dorm as possible. When we've parked, he opens the trunk to get my few bags out of the car. They're props, designed to make the Burks look like any other family here. Really, the rest of my things were dropped off earlier this morning. I duck my head when we get to my single room. It looks like I've lived there for a week. Bed made, books neatly tucked away on shelves, clothes hung in the closet. But my mother does what she always does and fusses about how everything's been done wrong. How the more-than-adequate space isn't fit for her little girl. My father and I exchange baleful glances and sit down on the bed side by side while Hurricane Samantha blows through. It doesn't matter what she does. I'll rearrange it again when she leaves. Thankfully, they only manage to hold out for an hour before my dad starts checking his watch and my mother wrings her hands. "Are you all set, Indy? Do you need anything else? We could..." "No. I'm good." "Leave, leave, leave." "Do you want us to?" "I think the next thing on the schedule is a lunch mixer, so I'm going to head over." My mother looks distinctly pleased. Pleased as she can look with her Botox-dulled expressions anyway. "Have fun, then. Introduce yourself to everyone. I know you can be shy." If by shy you mean misanthropic, then sure. Maybe you'll meet a nice boy. I doubt it. The boys I knew in high school didn't do much for me, and I'm not expecting much better from the boys here. But I know what I'm supposed to do. Find a boy I can string taut and then play like the cello that's tucked neatly under my bed. Someone who will have the appearance of being powerful, but who I'll keep wrapped around my little finger. My mother's schooled my sister and me in the art of manipulation since before I can remember. I think training us like soldiers is her version of love. Men are tools, but you need to let them think they're in control. Be smart, be strong, and be savvy. But for God's sake, keep that to yourself. I wait a beat, knowing she's not done, and steel myself. She'll never not take the opportunity to teach me a lesson in the art of war. My mother's weapon of choice is my appearance. One I don't particularly care to wield, which would explain the not particularly flattering outfit I'd donned this morning, knowing she'd hate it. "But you should change your shirt first. Blue isn't a good color on you. And this baggy old thing doesn't show off your figure.